Father.
Thank you, Father. And Isaiah, your prophecy is going to be the teaching. So, Veronica, I hope the teaching is going to bless you too. Tonight, is the theme going to be the same King, the same King. Before I go into the same King, can you name the last three presidents? We have Malay.
Uh-huh. Albert Fernandez.
Macri. Macri, Fernandez, Malay. Mm-hmm. If you're reading a book and it starts off with Macri, and then it went to Malay, what would you know? You skip the King.
Yeah.
And if you're reading through a book and it starts with Malay, and then it goes to Macri, then went back to Malay, then it went to Fernandez, you'd go, what's going on here? Right?
Right.
Our thinking is things are on our timeline. I didn't know this. I'd read the book of Jeremiah, right, twice. And Dad said, it's not in order. I go, it's not. He goes, no, this king, it goes to this king, it goes to that king, it goes to this king. It's going from Abraham Lincoln to Ronald Reagan to George Bush to John Adams. And I had no idea. Why? Ask the author. But things are not always in order. But if you knew the kings, you'd have an idea. Why is the author skipping around from Fernandez to Macri to Malay? You'd say something's up. It's not chronological, because naturally everything's going to be chronological. But Yahweh's the perfect teacher. And so chronological, when we read the word, can sometimes be a problem. If somebody doesn't instruct us. Like, I read Jeremiah two or three times before I knew it wasn't chronological, and then I laughed. I go, how did I miss that? Are you kidding me? So an analogy that who is this the same king was, I had to do a junior research, and the junior research was on, I won't tell you the name of the king. And anytime somebody says king, you say, what king? What president? What Caesar? Well, it says Caesar right here, yeah, but there's 500 years of Caesars. There's a guy named Howard Carter. He was an excavator, lived in Egypt. He was British. And he found a key, a secret key that everybody had overlooked. And what was it? It was evidence that there was place in the Valley of the Kings that had not been excavated. It used to be that when you buried the pharaohs, they got all their gold. Then they learned, that's putting a big X marks the spot of the treasure. That's where all the money is. And so what they did is they plundered it all. And so for years and years and years, they'd go to find these caverns, and there's nothing left. You can't preserve the king by burying with the money. But in the Valley of the Kings, it was wiped clean for years. There wasn't anything until Howard Carter found an X marks the spot. He found that there was a spot that had not been excavated. It had been overlooked because of rubble of one right next to it. What he found is arguably the most famous pharaoh there is, King Tutankhamun. Yeah. And because of finding Tutankhamun, we have evidence of so many things about the ancient Egyptians that we never did. And he's one of the smallest of the pharaohs. And we're talking about billions of dollars of gold and artifacts, but it was all because he found a key. And that key introduced you and I to King Tutankhamun. Nobody, and most people didn't know there was a key. They didn't know there was a thing. The key that I'm going to share with you is far more important than Tutankhamun, because this is Yahweh's key. And if you look at your handout, you have to go to the last page to understand this key. The key, what does it say? Does anybody know Proverbs 25? It is the glory of Elohim to what? Expose everything and make it clear to you.
No, hide it.
To hide it. Now go find it. Easter egg hunts. Go find it. Roll up your sleeves. I can't find it. Yeah, little kids. Did you look everywhere? I did look everywhere, parents. How many times have we done that with Yahweh? It doesn't make sense. He goes, roll your sleeves up. X marks the spot. E.W. Bollinger in Appendix 57. This is a free download PDF. You can go to teleosministries.com. Down here, I circled it for you. He's going to explain. Ahasuerus and Esther is the title. Is the same guy as Artaxerxes and Ezra. is the same guy as Darius the Median in Daniel. So what? Okay. Now this whole teaching is based off of that key. Now I'm going to put the responsibility on you. Read Appendix 57. Probably take 15 minutes to understand that. And why does he say this? And you look at the evidence. And here's Yahweh. This guy found something. And now I'm going to show you something that blows my mind. And it's going to come back to Isaiah's prophecy, standing alone. And Dad said earlier, stand. And that was a part of the teaching I was going to miss about standing. You stand even if you're alone. Ephesians 6 says to do what? Put on the armor, and then what do?
Stand.
You have to stand. If you're not standing, it doesn't work. And so part of the teaching is going to be those who stood alone. Here's a question. Who here knows the order of the books of the Bible? I have an idea. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. Okay. Can anybody here tell me what does the book of Esther have to do with the rebuilding of the temple?
Everything, because she gave birth.
Well, no, okay. So you're using the appendix. You're going to base the conclusion off the appendix I gave. Does anybody, without using E.W. Bollinger's, what you're getting ready to say? You say, what is the book of Esther? You have Ezra, the building of the temple.
Nehemiah,
the building of the wall. The temple, the wall. Then you have Esther. Esther comes after these. The temple, the wall's already built. Here's Esther in a faraway land in Persia. There's already the Jews back in Jerusalem is what it looks like. And that's not the case. It's not chronological order. The order is Esther, then the building of the wall, Nehemiah, and then Ezra. Why is this so important? Esther goes, so if you read it in this order, and I have the whole PDF, I put it all in order. So if you want to read it in order, here's a Rotherham with E.W. Bollinger's notes before each one of them, an explanation. But if you read in this order, here's what you get to see. Something that I've never seen before. Because you start off with Esther, and what is Esther known for?
What is she what?
What is she really known for? The most famous thing she
saving
did.
The Jews.
By
saving.
Going before the king unsummoned, which was a death sentence. You guys remember that, Esther? Mm-hmm. Was that pretty famous? What did that have to do with rebuilding the temple? She had no idea. She's not correlated. There is no temple. There is no wall.
Yeah.
She's trying not to get the Jews annihilated.
Yeah.
What is Satan trying to do in the book of Esther? Annihilate all the Jews. And he could look really, really close. Esther, how many times does she go before the king and die? She doesn't literally die, but it's a death sentence. She does it 3 times.
Wow, that was true.
No, she does it 3 times. She goes before the king again. It starts off, King Ahasuerus goes to his counselors. What should we do with Vashti? The counselors say, get rid of her. He learned his lessons from those counselors when it came to wives, because after Esther, now he's talking to Esther and Mordecai. The counselors don't come up again. You go, here's Esther going before the king. She's going to die. She gets off the hook. Now you finish, you go to Ezra. The beginning of Ezra says what? Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the king. It's the same king.
Oh.
It's the same king. What is he going to do? If you read about Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba comes to see Solomon, she says, all your servants are so happy. They're so blessed to be around you. Were they happy? No. Because later on we find he whipped them. They had to act happy to be in front of the king. Wouldn't that make sense? You don't want depressed servants. Imagine a waitress coming to you crying the whole time. Can I get somebody else that's not crying while they're waiting on me? And we'll look there if we have time. Nehemiah goes to Yahweh, and the one really cool thing about Nehemiah is you see him and Yahweh over and over again. Yahweh, remember me. Yahweh, remember this. And before he goes to the king, he says, Yahweh, give me Raham. That's this love. It's the love of the womb. You can't explain it with one word, but it's the love that a mother has for an infant. It's what Yahweh gave Daniel with Babylon, the Babylon Nebuchadnezzar. And then he goes before the king, the same king. And you know who's going to be there? The queen. Who's the queen?
Esther.
And it's going to say, and we'll read there in chapter 2, the king says, what's wrong here, seeing that you're not sick? Do you think you'd be allowed near a king if you had COVID? The flu? No sick people's going to come near the king. He's going, and the king goes, you're not sick, what's wrong? And then it said, he feared exceedingly. Who feared exceedingly?
Nehemiah.
Yahweh sent Nehemiah to die before what king? The king who had seen this before with the wife who was next to him. You're going to die for this? What is it? And he feared exceedingly, and then he asked to go rebuild the wall. Whose dream was it? Who told Nehemiah to go before this king to do this?
Yahweh
did. Nehemiah's going to, I'm going to die. I'm the cupbearer. I can be very useful here as a cupbearer. You do whatever you want. He did the same thing to Esther. But now you think about Esther watching this, and can you imagine the guards that had seen this before? And who was it? Was it a Philistine that risked their life for a noble cause? Was it an Agagite? An Amalekite? No, it was a Hebrew again. Same king, with the queen, who's been exalted, and now here's Nehemiah. Now, you start keep reading Nehemiah, and guess who's, well, if you don't know the chronological order, this won't make quite a sense. Because it starts off Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, but it's just the opposite. It starts off, it's Esther, then Nehemiah, because in Nehemiah, as you're reading, do you know who's all over the place? Ezra. Ezra's everywhere. Ezra the scribe, Ezra the priest is with me. So we find out that here is, you start reading Nehemiah, and here's Ezra. Ezra's going to be rebuilding the temple. That's King Cyrus, it's later on. Here's Ezra, joins up with Nehemiah. He's the priest and the scribe, and he's there for the rebuilding of the wall. And you read Nehemiah, they have to bathe with swords on. This guy's a cupbearer. He has to become a general and a governor. He's got to do all these things. He has to grab people by their beard and do all. He's not a friendly, he's not a pastor that most people would want, but it's who Yahweh would want. He got rid of the sin. What did Yahweh want? He wanted to cleanse the temple. He wanted to cleanse the land to get it holy again. Because you can't have sin and Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yahweh wanted his land back. You got to get rid of it. And Nehemiah got rid of it. Now, the same, if you look at your sheet, the same king was there when the adversary through Haman tries to annihilate the Jews. And that adversary and Haman, did they trick the king? Did they trick Esther's wife into wiping out the Jews? Yes. He didn't know the Jews. His wife's a Jew. He knew Mordecai was a Jew. Mordecai saved him. He was tricked into trying to wipe it out. What did he do to those guys who tricked him?
He killed them.
He killed them, and he killed 75,000 more. Wiped them out. He did just the opposite. This is the same king with Daniel. Same king. Here's Daniel, the writing on the wall. Here comes Darius. Is another name. Darius comes marching in. Gets rid of the wicked people. What does he find? A Hebrew. Does he know Hebrews? His wife's a Hebrew. Mordecai's one of his governors. Nehemiah, Ezra, rebuilding the walls. They're the only reliable people out here. President Trump got a cabinet of Christians with a foundation. Here was Yahweh building a cabinet to do what? Rebuild the wall, rebuild the temple. And here is Daniel. It is this, the same king is tricked into doing what? If anybody worships anything but you, we're going to throw them into the lions. Okay, whatever you guys got to do. They tricked him. What did he do? What did you guys know what he did to the guys that tricked him?
He threw them and their family into the lions.
He threw them, their family, and their children into the lions. It's the same king. It's the same guy. So when you read Daniel 5 and 6, this is the same guy with Esther. And this is the building of the wall. And here's the same father. And when you read Daniel, guess who else he served under? Cyrus, his son. Yahweh, if you read this order, you can start appreciating what does Esther have to do with the building of the wall of the temple. It was Esther and Mordecai are just trying to survive and save the Jews. What did Yahweh want? I'm taking back my land. Not just to rebuild it. He had to get rid of sin and all kinds of idolatry, and he did. Satan wanted to wipe out, Satan was this close to wiping out all of Israel. What was Yahweh doing at the same time? He's, blueprints! I'm going to build a wall here. I'm going to put the temple here. And you imagine the angels going, Yahweh, there's a lot of sin here. We'll take care of that. I got a guy. Who's the guy? His name is Nehemiah. He won't handle it. And then you read the book of Nehemiah, and you start seeing the rebuilding of the wall. Who's reporting? And then that king is going to die, because who rebuilds the temple? Cyrus, the king. Cyrus, Esther's son.
Yeah.
Rebuilds the temple after it's done. And who continues? Who builds the temple? Ezra, under Cyrus. Yahweh, starting with the book of Esther, starts having plans to raise a king up to take back the vineyard. Jesus Christ says the owner of a vineyard leased out the vineyard, and then he sent servants to go get the money and collect, and they beat him. So he sent another servant, and they beat him. So he sent his son, and they killed him. What did that represent?
Yahushua.
It represented Yahweh sending Yahushua to Jerusalem. Who does Jerusalem belong to?
Yahweh.
Can you preach about Jesus Christ or Yahushua and salvation in Jerusalem right now?
Mm-hmm.
No. The same way it was during Nehemiah's time. When you read Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezra, it's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. Because right now, we look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you slew the prophets. And it looks so bad. You got Hamas and rockets. What is Yahweh doing right now? The temple's going to go here. And this is going to go here. What are you going to do with all the Hamas? I got a Nehemiah. He's coming. And so no matter how dark things look, be engaged. But don't be overwhelmed. Disengage when your blood pressure goes up, when you get depressed, when you want to curl up in a ball, or you're tired, you can't sleep or something. Disengage. It's a manifestation that you're in too deep. And so you can see here, you think about that. The same king, when he went to Esther and he said, Ezra, the second time Esther comes to him to die, he goes, what do you want? She goes, let us fight back. Fight back. And then what does he do? He starts going, how many are dead? What happened? Is that a king who is involved?
Yeah.
He's not off on crusades. He wants to know what in the world happened. Did he get tricked? Yeah, what kind of king is this? You see, Jerusalem rejected Yahweh's kings and prophets. And what does Yahweh do? He gets his own king. And here is Esther's husband. What is his name? We don't know. He's called Darius. He's called Artaxerxes. He's called Ahasuerus. And there's a lot of Dariuses too. So they're not just one. But then here's the thing is, here he is during the wars with Purim, with Esther.
Yeah.
He's going, how many are dead? And then he comes back to Esther. Esther comes in again. Here we go again. Three times a charm. She's going to die again. Can you imagine? What do you think that did to the counselors around this king? She's overriding everybody, isn't she? His counselors said, get rid of Vashti. Now she's walking in, and probably by that third time, there's a new sheriff in town. Yahweh took over Persia. How? A woman. And her cousin, who was like an uncle. Two people taking their stand. Mordecai. Why didn't you bow down? Can you imagine the Jews with Mordecai? We're going to get wiped out because Mordecai, you couldn't just bend. You have to be so abrasive, Mordecai. Why did you just bow down your knees? Now everybody's going to die. You can't compromise just once. You got to work on those people skills, Mordecai. Come on. Can you imagine what would happen? Everybody's going to die. Mordecai took a stand. Why? Because Yahweh wanted to rebuild a kingdom, a temple, and walls. And he did the same thing as Daniel. I'm not going to bow down to this thing. I'm going to pray to Yahweh. Both of them stood alone. Both of them going to die. And what was Yahweh's plan? What did Daniel pray? Did anybody know what direction he prayed?
It looks like the east.
Why?
That's where the sun
the temple is.
He's praying to Jerusalem.
But the sun, okay.
No, he's praying to Jerusalem, and it says that in Chronicles, Solomon, so when they raise their hand and they pray towards his temple, what do you think Daniel's big dream was?
To go there.
To return?
Yeah.
And Jeremiah writes him from Jerusalem, it's going to be 70 years. Hey, I might be able to make it. He's praying to Jerusalem, and then Yahweh says, don't bow down. Don't bow down to this thing. Daniel's going to die. He's not going to see the temple in his own mind. What was Yahweh's plan? Daniel, I'm going to build the temple because you didn't back down. Yahweh took over Babylon and Persia. Esther, Mordecai, then the king's on board, and this, who's his name? We'll get to find out someday. And then here's Daniel. Yeah, Ezra, Nehemiah. And Daniel's in there too. And Daniel was a prophet during what time? Cyrus. Cyrus, think about a young boy growing up in the White House. And who's in the White House? Who's in charge of the cabinet? The queen. This queen is who? Esther. Pretty noble. One of the governors is going to be Mordecai. Wow. Who's Nehemiah? A governor and a cupbearer. Who is this guy? Who else? Ezra. Here's this guy, Ezra the priest. He's through all this. And then guess who comes along? The eunuch, Daniel. The prophet. Can you imagine King Cyrus hearing Daniel talking about the lion's den? Can you imagine him talking to a prophet? The prophet who said, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the Babylonian names. And they were thrown in. And here's Cyrus going, what? Building and building and building. Because when Cyrus's father went to sleep and died, it's the end of Chronicles. Cyrus says, Yahweh has given me all of this. So the order, because of E.W. Bullhorn, gives us a key. He will show you that Esther's the rebuilding of the temple and the wall. Yahweh's reclaiming his vineyard, and he takes it all back. And how encouraging is that for us when we see Hamas, the Democrat Party, socialists, Black Lives Matter, all the rest of the stuff, and say, he loves to do a reversal right at the end. And that's faith. That's what he calls us to do, have faith. Now we'll look at the handout. So what I did, shooting from the hip, is I put E.W. Bollinger is the world's best study notes, but it's based off the King James, Old King James, which is not a good translation. So what I did is in a PDF is I put it in order, chronological order. And this is common knowledge among people who study Hebrew. It's in here too, the chronological order. They're talking about Esther is supposed to be here, and this is supposed to be here. It'd be the same thing if you got a book of a Bible, and it was in Spanish, and you open up to the New Testament, and it started with the book of Acts. Is it the book of Acts? Yeah, it's the book of Acts. But Acts did not happen before Luke. You have to explain, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah. So here's translators and things, moving things around. But at the beginning, so here's, I did it in a PDF, all under the same king. So here's Esther. You got Mordecai, same king, Nehemiah, and Esther's right beside it, Ezra. And then you have Ezra the priest with Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. I don't know what happens to Nehemiah during the temple. Maybe he went to sleep, maybe he retired. But Ezra continues, and Daniel comes in there during this time of the rebuilding of the wall. God, Daniel's a part of Yahweh's kingdom. Mm-hmm. Judah would have killed Daniel. Yeah, Zedekiah, these guys, and here's Daniel. The wall's being rebuilt under who? Esther's husband. Yeah. Oh, can you imagine Daniel? And then you come here, Cyrus. And who did Cyrus have? We know that Daniel was there. We know Ezra was there. And it could have been Nehemiah. But that's all from the chronological order. And so what I did also is... if somebody wanted to read this in chronological order, I got it in a PDF. You can do it with your phone. You wouldn't have to download it. So the first book, the book of Esther, is how you start it. And I put right here, Yahweh becomes ruler of Persia. There's a typo, so excuse the typos. Yahweh becomes a ruler of Persia with two servants, Hadassah, Esther, which is Esther, then Mordecai. And then he gets the king of Persia. So what is he going to do? How is he going to rebuild his temple, his wall first? He starts with three people. This isn't a big group, is it? Jesus Christ had 12 apostles. Changed the world. He starts with three. Then you get to the book of Nehemiah. The cupbearer risks his life like Esther to go before the king on a mission from Yahweh to rebuild the wall. He does this as governor, and Ezra is a priest and a scribe. So Yahweh now has the king of Persia, the queen of Persia, Mordecai, Nehemiah, and Ezra, and then Daniel comes in chapter of Daniel 5:31, when this king is 62 years old. Isn't that neat? How many times do you get to see the age of somebody? It's not often. There's a reason why it's there, but Yahweh has it. Daniel 5:31, the king was about 62 years old. How old is Cyrus? I don't know. But you would think Cyrus is probably alive. Sometime while Yahweh is rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, Yahweh has his army under Hadassah's husband defeat the Babylons and adds the prophet Daniel to the cabin. So here's a little title for that. And then Yahweh's kingdom had a young king, King Cyrus, grow up in the kingdom with Daniel as a prophet. Mordecai, I guess I already covered all that. And all of these were those two books are all to prepare to rebuild the temple. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 28, it shows that Daniel was under Cyrus also. And so in Ezra, I put Yahweh takes back his vineyard, Jerusalem. He takes it back. And I put underneath that this is all what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. Yahweh's going to take it all back. Now who knows if you or I or one of us are calling, what was Mordecai's calling? Are you kidding me? That's not being a youth pastor, a music leader. That's not being an accountant. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And how does that help anybody? But that was it. Mordecai did his job. Esther did her job. And here's, and then look at this group of five or six people that Yahweh changes the world, rebuilds his temple. And today, Jerusalem is full of people who reject the vineyard son, Yehoshua, as the Messiah. How's that? And so then, I guess I already showed you the picture. Kind of tell the picture. And then I put on the same PDF, and you can customize it any way you want, but what a great way to show somebody to teach and appreciate the scriptures. Why isn't it just in order? It is the glory of Elohim to conceal a man and the glory of kings to search it out. Now, Yahweh didn't hide everything. He didn't hide his own name. Who hid his name?
Man.
Men did. And it's what produced, we are to be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Not just that. If you seek his kingdom first, all of these will be added to you. I don't want to search the scriptures. Do you want that husband and wife? Do you want that retirement? Do you want your family to get along? Whatever it is, search the scriptures. But then here's the book of Esther, and then I put right after that is going to be the first page of the chapter of Esther, the book of E.W. Bullinger with his study notes. So even before you read it, and just to give somebody a taste of E.W. Bullinger's study notes, it will show Esther, here's the whole structure. And then I widened out the King James just so you could read the notes before you actually read the scriptures. And then as you do this, you start reading the scriptures and you're start comparing, going to go, wow, she's going before the king. And then it'll be the same thing with Ezra and Nehemiah. And they'll explain the chronological order. And then at the very end of it, it's going to have the whole appendix explaining the genealogy of the Persian kings. And why does he think this? And the other things that's real important about validating E.W. Bullinger, when somebody should be validated, is if somebody is willing to take a stand that's not popular. Yeah. It's easy to stand when everybody's going the same direction.
Yeah.
But Peter stood and cut off Malchus's ear, not popular. And so this teacher, he's not afraid to stand when it's not popular. And so he'll teach all kinds of it. Now he's not perfect. But not only does it have the line of the Persian kings, but after that, it has the appendix. There's a cliff. In the 1800s, there's an inscription 500 feet up. 1800s. What are people riding around in airplanes and motorcycles? How are they getting around?
Horses.
Horses, camels. On top of this cliff, 500 feet up. You know the climb your dad's on the mountain, Twin Isles. That's 300 feet.
Wow.
This is 500 feet. There's an inscription that was preserved explaining Darius, and he's going to explain it. It's still there. And then after that, there's also, I put in there just for a glimpse, is E.W. Bullinger has a timeline. And here's the books, and here's a different time. You can see here's Daniel. So Esther took her stand. Mordecai took his stand. Not easy, was it? How important was it? Because at the resurrection, Esther helped rebuild the wall of the temple. How many people were on board? In the scriptures, we only see two. Mordecai, how important was his ministry? And did Yahweh take it over? Ezra's going to be an exception as a priest. But this was a queen, a beautiful, probably articulate woman. What was Mordecai? He's a scribe. And it wasn't priests. It wasn't a religious overthrow, with an exception of Ezra. And here's Daniel all doing the same thing. Did Daniel know what Esther was doing at the same time? No. Do you think Daniel felt alone? I'm in Babylon. This is how I'm rewarded. Yeah, I know I'm up in the echelons, but I don't want to be in Babylon. I want to be in Jerusalem. He had no idea that Mordecai and Esther was doing in Persia. How many times do you feel alone? It's not worth it. I'm tired of being alone. And Yahweh goes, if you only know. If you follow me. If you do what I say, I will give you all the riches. And look what happened with Daniel. Daniel, his biggest dream, it would appear through the scripture, is to see Jerusalem. And it doesn't say that he saw Jerusalem, but he served under Cyrus the king who rebuilt the temple.
Yeah.
Did he go? Did he not go? We don't know. But if he wanted to go see Jerusalem, here's a plane ticket. And here's King Cyrus. Are you kidding me? You're Daniel? And then here's a Nehemiah. And we talk about Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah, my heart just breaks. This guy did that. When you read Nehemiah, actually before you read it, just put, do I have to do everything? Because I'm reading Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer. Now he's a construction worker and he's doing the loans. He's doing it all with his own money. He's not asking for any help. Here's the Jews. He's not even going to take the money. President Trump didn't take any money either. Then what does he got to do? The Levites married, the high priest's son marries this, and he's like, he's got to clean them up, then he's got to clean them up, and you read this whole thing, do I got to do everything? But a beautiful thing about Nehemiah, and your prophecy, when you feel alone. Where did Nehemiah get his strength?
From Yahweh.
He talked to Yahweh. Yahweh. Remember, Isaiah, talk to Yahweh. Yahweh, remember when I'm the only one coming to fellowship searching the scriptures. Remember me. Yahweh, remember that I'm praying and speaking in tongues for you, even when it's not popular. Yahweh, remember me when I'm swimming upstreams when other kids are going the other direction. Yahweh, remember me. Why did Yahweh record that? He's teaching us how to stand alone. And you too could be a part of something. When is Christ coming back? It could be your ministry or my ministry that's the next one that rebuilds the temple and the wall. Wouldn't that be nice? I got an offer back in 2015, I think. I said, if I donated money to Donald Trump, that they would inscribe my name on the wall in Trump Towers. I was going to give him money anyways. He's not going to win. Oh, man, my name could be in Trump Tower. Aaron Cunningham, when Donald Trump... I missed that one. Now, where can your name possibly be on Yahweh's wall? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for these believers. I thank you for speaking blessings over them. I thank you for encouraging them. I thank you for giving them the Holy Spirit so that you can speak, communicate, and strengthen. I thank you for these words. Know, my children, that in this world you will have trouble. Think about that for a second. Why are you shocked when you have trouble? Why are you stressed out when you have adversity? Why do you lose sleep when you're alone? I warned you. I told you. Disengage yourself and reevaluate what the purpose of your life is. You get to choose. I give you freedom of will. But it's up to you what you do with it. You can give that freedom of will right back to me. Just like the slave who said he's going to continue to serve after 7 years. If you give it back to me, I will reward you. Amen.
Yeah.